Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we are here for Cowboy Church. We've got a special guest, Jeremy Farley. I sure hope that you have been tuning in with us each week that he's been here. And if you have, you're getting to know him just a little better.
And I'm excited about this one because I've been fighting all week long.
Yeah.
And I want to know how to finish this thing. I want to know what's next. It's fight a good fight.
Yes. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith.
Yeah. Kept the faith.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a lot of the keeping the faith business at this message, right?
Maybe? Yeah. I mean, it's and it's hard. I mean, you were talking, I think, last week about how there was an individual you saw and you know,
yes.
God knows what was going on in his life at the same time. But the Bible tells us, Jesus speaking, that in the last days, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And I think, you know, we see all this political corruption going on. We see all the chaos and the drug use addictions. And if we're not careful, we can kind of lose our own love for people, you know, going through our own personal traumas.
Yes.
And so that's kind of part of the whole keeping the faith, is that in the face of so much wickedness, be a light in darkness.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Well, we're going to Cowboy Church. I'm going to sing a song and then Jeremy's going to speak. I hope you enjoy it as much as we have been able to get to know Jeremy Farley. Let's go to Cowboy Church. One of my favorites, In the Garden. My Grandma Smith was quite the gardener. She had this big old peach orchard. She had a garden in the back. She had a garden down in the bottom. She canned not only in quarts and pints, but in half gallons. They always had the food. And if anybody had need of a meal, there was always a place at the table for anyone that was hungry. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice that I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice, oh, it's so sweet. The birds hush, they're singing, and the melody that he brings to me within my heart is ringing. With me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Oh, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. wanted to sing a bunch of Christian songs, so we learned some Christian songs and put them in our repertoire. And this was one of the ones we sang when we were young.
I am thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When through wonderful grace by my Savior I'll stand, should there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? When at evening the sun
resisted those that pushed against our faith, but beyond that, I resisted my greatest enemy, who was me, a child of God who has not fought themselves. A child of God who is not fighting themselves is a child of God who is not ready to see heaven. Because if we're ready to meet God, we have been someone who has spent our life fighting our greatest enemy being ourselves. A ready life is a life that has seen fighting. But here's another thing. A ready life is a life that has reached the finish. A whole lot of people, and I've been preaching now for 20 plus years, and I can't tell you how many people over the last two decades I have seen come into church and start praying, come into church and seemingly begin a relationship with the Lord, become a member of the church and start being a part of the family of God. And yet they did not remain. They stayed for a season and then they found themselves caught in addiction. They found themselves finding better things to do with themselves. And people who once sat there ended up leaving. Not everybody who comes to church will stay at church. Not everybody who joins a worship center is someone who will remain part of that worship center. Many will come and many will go. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament a very sobering truth. These went out from us because they were not of us, for had they been of us, they would have no doubt stayed with us. But they went out so that we could see that they were not of us. And I know that's very wordy whenever we hear it, But the truth is, many, many people who start don't finish. I have many times in my life been guilty of, we're going to build a new deck and get the deck completely built, but it's missing one piece, and leave that. Well, I'm going to get around to it. I'm going to get around to it. And days become weeks, become months, become years. No doubt there are a lot of people that know what I'm talking about. There's probably wives that are elbowing their husbands saying, you know, that's you right here. We're all guilty, I would dare say, of starting things that we don't finish. But if there is one thing that you have got to recognize that you must finish, it is this relationship with the Lord. You can allow certain home improvement projects to not be finished. You can allow certain degrees that I was pursuing to not be met. But if there is anything that has to be finished, it is your relationship with the Lord. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. But he goes on and he says, I have finished my course. I've reached the finish line. Not everyone is going to be a finisher. Let's talk about this. We need to keep serving the Lord. Why? Why do we need to keep on with this thing? Here's the first reason. Because there are hearers of fables. Paul says in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Paul says, you got to stay in this thing because there's going to come a time whenever people are not going to know truth. Stay in the fight. Reach your finish line because there are hearers of fables. We're living in a society that is completely upside down when it comes to truth. I believe it was the year 2013, the Ford Motor Company hired a firm to predict what the future would look like a decade later. The Ford Motor Company published their findings of what the world was going to look like down the road. And the reason they did this was so that they could better market and maneuver their company. And the top thing in that report was that there would be a lack of trust. There would be a situation and a society where trust would be the most valuable asset. And the ability to rely on truth. Truth was scarce, according to the report. And you and me today are living in that era. And if we walk out on God, if we turn our ears and our bodies and our lives away from this book, and we forsake all the truths that we have known, and we don't reach the finish line, those who come after us are going to suffer the most. And so stay in the fight because there are hearers of fables. But another reason we need to stay in the fight is because our heroes are fading. Paul says to Timothy in chapter 3, he says, this know also in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Now that word perilous is a word that we don't use very often, but it just means terrible. Stay in the fight because horrible times are coming. And then he starts listing how bad things are going to be. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, truce breakers, false accusers, despisers. They're not going to be content. They're going to be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're going to be disobedient to parents. And Paul is painting this hellscape of a society. And Timothy is reading this. And I could only imagine how Timothy is reading this thinking, well, at least I've got Paul with me. And at the very last moment in chapter 4, Paul says, and oh, by the way, the time of my departure is at hand. I've told you, Paul, how, or Timothy, I've told you how horrible things are going to be. And by the way, I'm leaving. So here's you the keys. Could you imagine Timothy reading this letter from Paul, and Paul spends the first three chapters telling how bad things are going to be. And then he opens in chapter 4 and he continues talking about how bad it's going to be. And then as the last little closing line, Paul's like, and by the way, I'm leaving. See you later. Why does that matter? Because what Paul was doing was telling young Timothy, the torch is being passed. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not going to live forever. And I am handing off that baton to you. In January of 1961, John F. Kennedy was inaugurated as president. And in his inauguration speech, Kennedy says these words. He says, "Let the word go forth from this time and place into all the world that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans. Born in this century, tempered by war," and he goes on talking about what this new generation has seen. And I think those words are very fitting for American Christianity today. Those old praying saints that so many of you watching on television grew up being around. Those old grandmothers with their hair and their dresses and their hours of praying, they don't exist anymore. And they prayed hedges of protection around all of us. And here we are, the recipients of their prayers years down the road. And yet they're gone. And like the old George Jones song, who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to live up and be the next generation of praying grandmothers? Who's going to be that next generation of grandfathers that stand for truth, that fight for truth, that love unconditionally? Who is going to be that generation? How can I live a ready life, a life where I'm ready to go? Number one, I have got to live a life that is fighting. A life that has seen fighting. Now, I shouldn't go looking for fights. The child of God has been called to live a peaceful life. The child of God has been called to pursue peace and to pursue gentleness and to pursue goodness, things that are virtuous. If there be any good in there, think on these things. But at the same time, the child of God has been commanded to protect and to defend the orphan, to protect and defend their spouse, to protect and defend their children. We have been called to defend truth and to stand for truth. We have been called to be fighters, but we have been called to be finishers. The only way I can be pleased with my life, looking back on who I am, is if I am a finisher. I am somebody that started this thing, but I'm also somebody that went all the way to the very end. Why do I need to be a finisher? Because there are hearers of fables. If I am not someone who is speaking truth, who will speak truth? If you are not someone who is speaking truth to your children, to your grandchildren, to your family, who will speak truth? There are hearers of fables, but our heroes are fading. Our parents, our grandparents, generations previous, they are going away. And it is now time for you and me to recognize that the torch has been passed to us. We are now no longer that young generation, but we are taking that role of the generation that is aging out. And as they were praying people, so ought we to be praying people. Our heroes are fading. Not only that, I want you to see the third thing about a life that is ready. A ready life is a life that has seen fighting. A ready life is a life that has seen the finish line. And a ready life is a life that has kept the faith. He says, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Let's talk about keeping the faith. What does it mean to keep the faith? Well, to keep the faith means that in a world that is increasingly becoming godless, we are going to be unmoved. Now, that will make us peculiar. That will make us stand out. That'll make us have to fight. But we have not been called to fight physically everybody that disagrees with us. We have been called to take the battle to the enemy. And how do we take the battle to the enemy? We do it by bringing Christ to those who are hurting. You see, Christians so often get completely messed up in their perception of this Christian battle that we've been called into. We like to sometimes think that those who don't vote the same way we do and those who do not have the same faith we have are the enemies. But the truth is, those that are not like us in with regards to the Christian faith, they are not the enemy. They are the prize. They are souls that Christ died for. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he sees those souls as pawns, while Christ Jesus sees them as a prize. And so many of us were once a pawn of Satan, and somebody showed love to us. Somebody showed goodness to us. Somebody showed graciousness and kindness to us. That is what we have been called to do, is to go to those souls that are hurting and give them the only thing that'll help them, and that is Jesus Christ. I think about the book of Mark, where Jesus and the disciples crossed the sea, and the Bible says a great storm came and the boat was about to sink. But they made it to the other side. And when they made it to the other side, they were met there with a maniac who was living in the tombs, crying and cutting himself all day. This man was someone that could not be bound. This man was someone who could not be tamed. He was a wild man, and the society around him was so fearful of him. And yet when he saw Jesus, he immediately cried out for mercy, and the demons that had been plaguing him were moved away and drowned. That Jesus is the only hope for our society. So while so many Christians are eager to flaunt their spiritual goodness, what we ought to do is see ourselves as beggars who have found bread, and see those around us who are starving as people who are just like us, who need this same Jesus that we have. And so how do we do this? How does that fit into living a ready life? A ready life, of course, is a life that has seen fighting. A ready life is a life that has seen the finish line. And a ready life is a life that has kept the faith. I want to ask you this question in closing. Are you someone who acknowledges Christ with your mouth, but your heart is far from him? It might be that we're not ready just yet because of our heart. Sure, we go to church on Sunday. Sure, we give. Sure, we do all kinds of outwardly good things. But if we're going to be honest, our heart isn't where it ought to be. You can fake a lot of things. You can definitely fake to the world around you where your heart is. But remember this, the God of heaven sees everything. The God of heaven knows everything, and he knows your heart. And so how can we be ready? Be ready by keeping our heart. Paul was a fighter. How do you get that way to where you love even your enemies? You got to do some fighting. You got to fight your flesh. You got to fight that pride that is inside. We've got to fight our very own nature. I've got to do better fighting me to make myself ready for heaven. I've kept the faith. We got to keep the faith. Don't allow religion to get in the way of your relationship with Christ. That's how we live a life that is ready.